Hey, praise the Lord, I'm Pastor Jesse Rich, honored, delighted, and glad you tuned in today. Let's turn our Bibles over here to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, the scripture says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bear our sins, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, focus in on those last six words to remind yourself, Jesus already purchased your healing and gave it to you. And Matthew 8, 17 says, that it might be fulfilled spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So that's going to help you begin to see that it's already been done. You're not trying to get healed if you're sick. You're just simply receiving it by faith in Jesus' name. Now, you may have a struggle there with your mind and your symptoms, but what you're doing with them, you're attacking them all the time with your mouth and God's word. You're speaking God's word out your mouth consistently, constantly, daily, day and night. And you're in a real situation, a real trial, then you want to cut out everything else you possibly can and just immerse yourself and surround yourself with the Word of God. So you can't play around with God's Word. You can't just think, well, I'm too busy. I don't have enough time for it. No, that'll get you in trouble because you get in a place where your faith is weak and you're a bit at a disadvantage. One of the reasons why people don't receive from God is because their faith is too weak to receive. And you can build your faith up. We read there the other day in Romans chapter 4, Abraham did. He got the place he was strong in faith. But he went by what God said in his word. Now, there's many distractions are going to come to you. People, loved ones. You think about someone that's going to med school or someone that's, you know, that's going to work to pass the bar and be a lawyer. They dig into the word. I mean, very few people and just kind of wing it. Now, I've seen people, I've known people personally. Maybe you have too, that just you couldn't even get a hold of them. I've got friends, you know, that wouldn't he take my phone call, return my call. And, you know, at first, you know, kind of get offended over it and talk to him later on. Well, no, I'm studying. Hey, Brother Rich, you know, or whether he called me, pastor or whatever, I'm studying. And, man, they were just glued to those books because they got their what? They got a test coming. They got examination. And they have to pass the examination because they can't flunk out. Well, spiritually speaking, that's how we are with God's word. Like Proverbs said, my son, attend to my words. Give God's word your undivided attention. Put it first. Start the day out in God's word. And then throughout the whole day. Never allow yourself to get to the place where you don't need to read the word today. You don't need to meditate on the word today. Because as life goes by in your life, the more you're going to need to do this. So immerse yourself. Surround yourself with the word of God. Don't try to think, well, I'll fit it in my schedule. Maybe later on I get home from work. No. Start out early in the morning. Now, flesh doesn't like this, but don't allow yourself to leave the house without time the word. Make a habit of it. And in the long run, you know, you see, your flesh doesn't want to do this. But in the long run, I believe your flesh should be happy because it'll still be healthy and upright and mobile. See, flesh wants to stay upright and mobile. And so it needs to be, it doesn't know, but it needs you to feed on the word of God to keep your faith strong so you can resist the devil when he comes. See, Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking he may devour. And you don't want to take this lightly, because he will devour you if you allow yourself to become weak. I mean, you know, you take a few elephants, a few lions, they can take an elephant out. As big as that, massive as that elephant is. They'll jump on him and just keep, you know, dogging his tracks, so to speak, till they take him down. Almost seems impossible. Well, Satan's that way with demon spirits. He'll bring doubt and unbelief and feelings and emotions and everything else to you. Distract him God's word. He'll lie to you and get you to think it's okay. You've already heard the word before. You've got done enough time the word. He'll just tell you all kinds of things. Amazing what Satan will tell you. It's all distraction. It's all ploy. He'll do everything to get you away from the word. He comes to attack the word in your life. Try to convince you it's not working. Try to persuade you it's not working. And he'll bring doubt and unbelief in other people to you. And they don't think it's that important. They think, you know, I've had people tell me all kinds of things like that. You've already read the word enough. You don't need to. One time I was talking to a minister and his wife and taking him from the airport to a meeting they was doing. And I asked about a certain minister that I knew of, didn't really know him hardly personally, but him and his wife and how their ministry has really flourished and just became gigantic and real strong word people. And so I brought them up because I knew them personally. And the pastor's wife says, well, you know, talked about the man that I was bringing up. You know, why did he spent so much time, the word, him and his wife didn't even go on vacation. Said it kind of critical. I thought, well, I didn't say anything, but I thought, they could go any place in the world now. It paid off. And yet, they're, you know, even though they have that kind of power and have that kind of authority and have that kind of position today, they're still led by the Holy Spirit. They're supposed to go somewhere, and they still put that time in God's Word. You can tell the way they talk. You see, the other couple didn't realize that though they'd sacrifice those vacations, it helped them out in the long run because it caused them to be strong. See, there'll be all kinds of attacks of the Word, all kinds of clever things that Satan will bring up. When I first got saved, some people would say, well, you just read the Bible all the time. You believe everything's in it. See, that's condescending. It's coming after your faith. It's trying to get you to think maybe what you're doing maybe is wrong. If you grew up Protestant Catholic, as good as the people are, you just didn't read the Bible. If you did read the Bible, you thought there's many interpretations of it. You couldn't understand what those born-again Christians had all this, especially those charismatics, what they were all talking about. But boy, once you got saved, you're there. That First Peter, look at that chapter 2 there. And at verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere American words, you may grow thereby. Well, the one indication is that you're born again, you have a hunger for God's Word. I mean, some dear Christian brother, after I got saved, he loaned me some, you know, be like CDs today, but he loaned me a six cassette tape series on prosperity and faith. And I just wore those out, listened to them. At the time, I didn't have any money to buy myself, or I probably could have, you know, if I rearranged some other things, but anyway, it's just amazing. I put the first tape on, listened to it for about 20 minutes, and stopped the tape player, and was amazed how much information is on here about how to use God's Word. I mean, I've been tithing and giving, and this minister is teaching me from God's Word how to believe God for return on what I'm doing. Well, that got me started, and God only knows how much time I put into it since then, even today. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Well, if it could come, it could leave. You see, many people departed from the faith, or they allowed their faith to leave. Oh, they still believe in Jesus as Lord, but their faith has not been developed. Start developing your faith now. Feed it on God's Word. Make the decision that nothing's going to distract you from time and the Word. Every day, get promises from God's Word. Read those every day to yourself. Highlight them in your Bible. Write them out. Print them out. And just keep confessing yourself, especially healing scriptures. I mean, what's more important physically than your health that God gave you? And just keep building yourself up. And just stand against all of Satan's lies. And hold fast your confession of faith. And just decree and declare to yourself what the Word of God says about you. And just don't let the Word depart out of your mouth. Now, flesh doesn't want to do this. Your mind won't want to do anything else. But there'll be a lot of things in life that you could. It's just unprofitable. It may not be sin, but it can lead into sin. It's just not important right now. I mean, think of all the news you ever watched. Did any of it ever help you? And some people, bless their hearts, they couldn't start the day unless they went online to find out what the news was. And every place you could practically go, I mean, I do a little bit of traveling. I mean, almost every cab has a TV in it. Every, you know, bus, Peter Pan bus has a TV in it. The planes have TVs in front of you. All the public transportation practically has. And on and on and on. The banks, the coffee shops. Oh, yeah. See, it's got television and music going on. Well, it's people, you know, they don't want to really put their mind on disciplined things. And you suck in all that news, it's going to rob your faith. It's going to bring fear to you. It could bring hate to you. Maybe your political persuasion isn't doing right or whatever. And all that does is just fester on you, and it gets you a place that you're not effective spiritually. And see, that's what it's all about, is keep the believer from being effective spiritually. It's like Satan doesn't really care you're a believer. He just doesn't want you to become effectively. He doesn't want you to rule and reign in Christ Jesus. He doesn't want you to use your authority in Jesus' name. He doesn't want you to go by and go around and bind the devils and take authority of demon spirits and principalities and powers, rulers of darkness world. He doesn't want you to speak to mountains and they leave. He doesn't want you to say, by his stripes you're healed. He doesn't want you to say that God will meet all your need. No, he wants you to talk about your sickness, and talk about your need, and talk about your problem, and talk about the weather, and talk about the news. I mean, really, this is what you probably do with your friends. And this is why sometimes friends can distract you from putting time in the Word. Some of the most spiritual people I knew just shut themselves away with God's Word. And just when they got home from work or any place else, they got that Bible, they got their tapes and CDs going. They got the newsletters they're getting from ministries, and they got faith books, and they're just all over the house, strung all around the house, laying all around the house, in the car, in their truck, wherever it's at. they're, you know, they just constantly want the word. Because they know they got to keep themselves in God's word. And why would God say, my son, attend to my words? Give it your undivided attention if it wasn't important. Because God wants all the attention. He just knows what his word will do for a believer if they'll get it inside their heart. Because it'll build a new image inside of them. They'll begin to see themselves as ruling and reigning in life in Christ Jesus. And see, you got to start changing inside before the outside is going to change. You got to believe God's word, each one of us. And so those temptations will come to do other things. One time I was in this coffee shop, and you know, and it's all over the country, probably around the world now. But anyway, and I just watched this guy, and he's I don't think he's about 30 years old yet, and he's got these real thick law books piled up on the table, four or five of them, and he's going through them, and it looked like he's been there for hours. And I came in and got a drink, and I sat down there, and this real sharp-looking gal comes in, kind of, you know, not wearing that much clothes. I don't know if she came from the beach or what, but she was real attractive. I glanced up and looked at her, and she came over to him, and she wanted to strike a conversation with him. And, you know, we said an all-American guy, you know, you could tell he probably thought she was attractive. But he said, I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't talk to you, I'm studying. Now, I got the way, that's kind of the devil works with any of us. You know, I just threw a woman, but for a man, through anything. Is that we're putting time in God's word. I can remember when I started fasting, and I made a commitment, I'm going to fast today and not eat until whenever. So I made this commitment, and then I'd get a phone call. Or someone to meet me someplace and say, hey, let's go to lunch. Now, the thing is, I didn't have enough courage probably to tell them, no, I can't do that, I'm fasting, or no, I'm not, you know, I can't do that, I got something else I got to do. Because you see, right away, now, I hadn't seen that person in a long time, and I don't know if they ever asked me to go out to lunch. But just the devil would set up things to get me off, not the persons of the devil, they don't even know what they were doing usually. But the devil knew exactly, I got to keep him from fasting, I got to keep Jesse from praying. I got to keep him from reading the word. So anything I make a commitment to, how about tithing? How about that? That was what became more challenging than that. And the devil will tell you, and you don't think it's the devil. It's just common sense, or maybe I thought sometimes even God just telling me, you don't need to tithe. You've got your bills. You put them first. I'll be okay without your tithe. And on and on and on. In fact, I've had thoughts come to me. You've done enough for God. You don't need to keep tithing. That's just crazy stuff. And so no wonder people kind of raise the white flag and surrender when it comes to tithing. That's just a dime out of a dollar. 1 10 cents. And God asks for it. And Satan comes after it. You got one of the smallest countries in the world, Israel, and the whole world goes after it, hates it, because it's God's place. It's his people. And that's how Satan operates. I mean, you'd be thinking of the size of China, okay, we could use all this land. Oh, no, see? And Satan just comes that way. So I noticed when I started tithing and giving and developing a prayer life, and I'm going to put a certain amount of time in prayer. Oh, man, just even Christian relatives would say things. Come on, you can do that later. Let's go. We're going to get pizza. Come on. Let's go. You're unsociable. You should walk in love. It just, anything would come up. Point I want to encourage is that when you make a commitment to God, it's going to get tested. It's going to get tried seemingly by every demon of hell through good intentions, well-meaning people. One time, this pastor was going through this huge financial trial, and I was staying at his church preaching, and I was over at his house and having coffee with him one morning, and I'd found out about this. They were going to take his building, his church building, and before he'd gotten the ministry, before he got saved, he made this patent, and he'd get like a $25,000 check periodically in the mail from royalties or whatever you call it. And so it had been a while since the company owed him this money and repaid him. And so I said to him, I said, well, brother so-and-so, why don't you just get a lawyer and go get that money. I'm thinking, if you get that money, I'll pay for the church. And the man looked at me, the pastor looked at me, he said, Brother Rich, did God tell you to tell me that? I said, no, brother, that was just me. See, I had a carnal answer for a problem he's facing his life. I was concerned about him, but yet God had dealt with him about, you leave everything alone. You keep believing me, I'm going to take care of this. I don't want you to get in this royalty money anymore. I want you to trust me. I'm taking you a different direction. And see, I come along, you know, and kind of used by the devil. Oh, I meant well, but I got in the flesh. And thank God, God took care of him. He's still at the church building. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Well, you see, now we got our services coming up. First of all, every weekend we got our church services. So you can check those out on our website at jesserichministries.com. But this month of December, We've got our New Haven, Connecticut Word of Faith Seminar, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, December 9th, 10th, and 11th. Two sessions a day, 10:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. at the Omni Hotel at Yale campus there. Come and be with us. And the week of Christmas, Farmington Marriott in Farmington, Connecticut, that whole week, Christmas week, two services a day. Love to have you there. Bring your Bible. Till next time, it's Pastor Jesse Rich. Mind you hold fast your confession of faith. Remember, Jesus is your Lord, to the glory of God the Father.